Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week we've begun a new series, and we're talking about the connection between our past, our present, and our future. If your past is filled with failures and disappointments, and your future looks hopeless, you'll have no peace, joy, or victory in this present life. But if you know that your past is filled with promise and potential, and that your future includes the realization of that promise and potential, you'll be able to deal more effectively with whatever comes your way in this life. And we were making the point yesterday that your history with God began before you ever existed. God knew about you before he formed the earth, because he's all-knowing. Even though you didn't exist yet, he knew you would exist. He knew when you'd be conceived. He knew when you'd be born. And he chose you to become his son or daughter through faith in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, and then he called you. Once you were conceived and born into this world, at some point in your life, he called you to come to him through repentance and faith in Christ. If you answered the call, you have become his son or daughter through faith in Christ. And a process is underway to restore you to what God always intended you to be. God knows a perfect you. He knows the you that he created in Adam. Potentially, you were in Adam, and I was in Adam when Adam was created. If we could trace our genealogies back to Adam and Eve, all of us were present in Adam potentially. I say potentially, one, because you didn't exist yet. Conception had to take place first. And if a dinosaur would have stepped on one of your ancestors back there in the beginning, you wouldn't be here. But God knew about you, and his first pronouncement about you was very good. Genesis 1:31, that's before sin and corruption damaged the family and the family home, and he declared you to be fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, now that you've answered the call, you have the hope inspired by that call, the hope that you will be restored to what he intended you to be. Now, there's tons of stuff we need to talk about in that, and we'll get to it over the next few weeks, but let me pick up where we left off yesterday, because it's already Thursday. We are well aware of our sin, our failures, and our shortcomings, and we struggle with believing that we can have a good future or a decent present. But we have a future, and we have help for the present because we have value to God. Now, we struggle with believing that because we connect value and worth in our society to accomplishments and achievements, and we know that we come short. We come up short there. But true value and worth comes from what one is willing to pay for an item. And God was willing to pay the blood of his son, the most precious element in the universe, to have you and me as sons and daughters. Jesus himself made it clear before he went to the cross to die for sinners that men and women, even in their fallen condition, have value to God. You have value to God right now. I have value to God right now. Not because of our abilities, not because of our accomplishments, but because of his estimation of our value to him. Jesus, when he was on this earth, regularly ate with sinners and publicans and was routinely criticized by the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, part of the reason they were so critical of him was because in that day and culture, eating with somebody meant more than just taking in food. I mean, we eat with people all the time that we don't really want to eat with. I mean, everybody's been to Thanksgiving, you know what I'm talking about. And we eat with people like in business deals and business meetings, people that we're not connected to. We just have to get together with them. But in that culture, you didn't eat with somebody casually like we do in our culture. To eat with somebody, it symbolized entering into relationship with them. It symbolized an acceptance of them. And the Pharisees went crazy over Jesus eating with prostitutes and tax collectors. And in they did it a lot, but I want to make reference to something in Luke chapter 15, one of the times they criticized him. Let me read verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Well, for the rest of the chapter, the next 29 verses, Jesus tells some parables. First, he tells a parable about a lost sheep, and then he tells a parable about a lost coin. Now, you're familiar with both of those. He talks about a guy who had 100 sheep, but he lost one. Well, he left the 99 and went searching for the one that was lost. And when he found it, he brought it back home, and he asked his friends and neighbors to come and celebrate with him and rejoice because he found what was lost. Then he talked about a lady who lost a silver coin. Same thing. She searched the house diligently until she found it, and then she invited friends and neighbors to come and celebrate with her because she found it. And then Jesus made it clear that he was describing heaven's response to lost men through these two parables. Here's the point for us. When the sheep and the coin were lost, the owner searched diligently until they found their lost items, then they rejoiced. Well, the owner sought them because they had value. Lost items don't lose their value because they're lost. If you've ever lost a $20 bill, you know that. If you've lost a $20 bill, you don't just go, oh, well, no big deal. No, you hunt for that thing because it doesn't stop being valuable because it's lost. What has happened is you can't benefit from its value until you find that lost item. The owner cannot benefit from and utilize the value, and the item can't fulfill its destiny. A $20 bill wasn't created to sit under a piece of furniture from now till Jesus comes. It was made to be spent or saved or whatever. Well, that's the idea here. Lost men have value to God in their lost condition, but their value can't be realized to their Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, unless they're found. Now, Jesus didn't stop there. He went on to tell a parable about a lost son, the parable of the prodigal son. You know the story. A rich man had two sons, and the younger son asked for his inheritance. The father gave it to him, and the son left home and went and spent all his inheritance on wild, sinful living and ended up broke in a pig pen eating pig slop. And in the pig pen, he came to himself. He woke up and realized, oh, my goodness, what have I done? And he repented. That's the idea there. I know I'm not reading anything. I just don't have the time. It's Luke chapter 15. And he said, I'll go back to my father's house. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against my father, but he'll take me back in as a servant. That's all the better I deserve. Jesus goes into greater detail. You know what happened. The father was looking out for the son and rejoiced and welcomed him back and threw a big party. But Jesus goes into greater detail about what happened when a lost son returns home, beyond just there was great rejoicing. When a lost man is found, and in doing so, he revealed some things about God's attitude toward lost men as well as the goal of salvation. We find out the father was watching out for the son, hoping he'd come home. He was moved with compassion when he saw his son's pitiful condition, and he ran to greet him. In fact, in an exuberant expression of love, the father kissed the son again and again. That's the idea in the original language. This is the dirty, stinky son, fresh from the pig pen, who had spent his dad's money on prostitutes and sin. Now, when you read, the son had a speech all prepared about how he had sinned against heaven and against his father. He wanted to talk about his sin. The son wanted to talk about his sin, but the father blew right over it. He knew the son was sorry. He knew his son had repented. He blew right over it. He didn't even mention it. Well, the Pharisees who were listening to this parable would have been horrified because they didn't forgive until there was revenge and restitution. Well, then it goes on. Jesus went on to say the father gave his son a robe, a ring, and shoes. Those listening to the parable knew exactly what this change of clothing meant. The prophet Zechariah had recorded a vision given to him where a change of clothing meant removal of sin. I don't have time to read it, but it's Zechariah chapter 3. They understood that a removal of clothing, a change of clothing, meant removal of sin. They knew that rings were given as a mark of dignity and honor. And in that culture, shoes were a symbol of freedom given back to prisoners of war when they were released from captivity. Then the father threw a party to celebrate his son's return. Through his words, Jesus described a sinful son being fully restored to his sonship position because of his father's love. Now, why did Jesus tell this parable? Because he's got Pharisees criticizing his interaction with lost men. Jesus said, "That's why I've come. I've come to seek and save the lost through my death, burial, and resurrection so they can be restored to sonship in their father's house." That's the plan. Although men and women are lost in the pig pen of sin, they're created by God and loved by God and have the potential to be transformed into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God through salvation. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to transform sinners into sons and to restore them fully to their created purpose. Salvation is about supernatural transformation by the power of God. Now, we'll discuss that in more detail over the next few weeks. Let me say one thing quickly before we come to the end of the broadcast. I am not saying that lost men are all saved. Lost men have to come back to Father's house through faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice at the cross. They must bow their knee to Jesus as Savior and Lord to be saved from sin and its consequences. Because sometimes people say, well, everybody's saved because Jesus died for everybody. Well, yes, he did die for everybody, and potentially everyone can be saved. But you must respond to God's call. You must repent, change your mind, and give up living for self and begin to live for him. And the doorway back into Father's house is the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you do that, see, all lost men have value to God, but if they don't come home through the door, Jesus, their potential will be lost forever, and they'll spend an eternity separated from God in hell. But if you come back to Father's house through Jesus, you'll be restored to the plan. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.